Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And as always, say it with me, it is a great word. It is a great word. As always, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm truly blessed to be with you this morning. God is good and greatly to be praised. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me another day. So thanking God again and thanking you for joining me. Let us pray and get ready to get into our word this morning. Father God in heaven, we come to you thankful and blessed, Lord, to be your daughters and sons, to look up and know that you, Lord God, are in charge of everything, to feel in our souls and our spirits that you guide us and you watch over us. Father God, we ask your blessings over all of your children. We ask you to watch over all of us in our coming in and our going out. Father God, I lift up this word to you, asking you, Father, to increase as I decrease. Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart this morning be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength and my redeemer. You are my Father. You are my friend. You are my Savior, God. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for the grace that you have given us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father, for just being who you are, a shoulder to lean on, someone to talk to when no one else is around, to be there in the middle of the night, to give comfort, to give hope in the future. Father God, I ask your blessing on the homeless, on the those that are feeling helpless and lost. Lord, I ask you to watch over your children that are going through, oh God. For you know everybody's situation. You know they're good, you know they're bad, you know they're ugly. And Father, I'm just lifting up today those that are in need. Lord God, I pray for mothers that are raising children alone, that you will send them their husbands, true men of God that love that woman and love will love her children as their own. Father God, I'm praying for those young men out there that are seeking wives, that you will send their Ruth to them, oh God, that you will send their Ruth to them, that you will send the one for them to them, that they will find their good things. But Lord God, no one wants to be alone. So Father, I'm praying for all those that are seeking and want husbands and wives. Women, wait, and God will send the one for you. Just remember that the enemy will also send a counterfeit. Beware of the counterfeit. So that when God sends the one for you, you'll be prepared. Lord God, I thank you. I for hope in the future. But your love and kindness and your generous heart toward us all. So, Father God, as I lift up this word this morning, I ask you, Lord God, increase as I decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. Loving you, loving God, having a great day, and thanking God for waking me up this morning, feeling better than I did on yesterday. Me and Rain do not do well together, and it was just a gloomy, cold-feeling, icky day. Today is a similar day. but I feel better today than I did yesterday. All I wanted to do was sleep, and I realized that I probably needed the rest, because that's what God does to me. When I need the rest, he puts me to sleep, because he knows me and knows I'll be running here and there and everywhere. And so I thank God for the peaceful rest. And I'm still yawning, but I know I got to go to work. So sleep is done for today, because I slept on yesterday. So I thank God for the rest. I thank God for you. I thank God for family understanding. I just thank God today, and I'm grateful. I'm thankful, and I know that I know I'm blessed. Hallelujah. So let's get into our word this morning. For those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I am coming out of the New King James Version because it is easier to understand for those that are just getting into Bible study. The goal of this broadcast is for us to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. And this is a daily Bible, which is set up in a daily order. So today is July 27th. What I'm reading in the Bible is for July 20th, and it goes on that way until December 31st. So I'm thankful that God showed me and gave me this word, and now I'm getting ready to just do my disclaimer as I do every day. I am not getting paid by In Touch Ministry to hawk this Bible, but I will tell you, this Bible is one of the best Bibles that I own when it comes to getting the daily word. We have gone on this show, we have been in chronological order. We have read it from in Hebrew to English, Greek to English. We have done a whole lot of Bible study. But this particular Bible, when God showed it to me and gave it to me, I was ecstatic. It is fantastic. So please, if you have an opportunity, right now the Christian bookstore online is having a huge sale on Bibles. So if you need to buy this Bible, now is a good time to get it at a discount at the Christian bookstore online. Then I think it's called christianbooks.com. And you will be able to get this Bible. I believe they're running like 15 to 25, as much as 50% off. Get your Bible. And now get your Bibles, because we're getting ready to go on a Bible study. And we are coming this morning in our Old Testament out of Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 7 through 7, chapter 7. So again, Nehemiah chapter 6 through chapter 7. Psalms 89, verses 5 through 10, which is where our title is coming from this morning. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28. And Acts chapter 27 on this 27th day. So let's get started, and I'm going to tell you up front, I may go over some and not give some of the begots and the number of people, only because of time's sake, not because I haven't read it. It's because of time. And I will say, go back and read who people are for your own purposes. But I will read some, and then I will skip over some and get to the meat of what it is. So I will not always go over the long list of the begots and the who's sons and the number of sons, but I will go in and hit a few that are important, and mainly because I only have 1 hour to get the word done. And I want to make sure that I get all of our chapters in. So let's get started in our word again. We are in Nehemiah chapter 6. And this is what it says. Now it happened when Sambalot, Tobiah, Geshem, and the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gate, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Onan. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me, as before, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. It was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem said, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent up, saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hand will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now, therefore, oh God, he's praying. And that's what we have to do when we're going through. When the enemy comes at you, get on your knees and pray, because we know that our God can do more than they could ever imagine. Woo! And those that try to sneak and do wrong, God's going to beat them up. Don't worry about it. God's got them. God's got you covered, and he's going to beat them behind. God's got it. I know that without any doubt. And it says afterwards, it says, therefore, God strengthened my hand. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is thee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God remembered Tobiah and Sanballat according to their work, and the prophetess Nodoah and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul, in 52 days. Can y'all say that with me? 52 days. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Now I want y'all to catch this. Was finished on the 25th. 2 plus 5 is 7, complete. In 52 days, 5 plus 2 is 7, complete. He did what he was supposed to do in the time he was supposed to do it, on the date he was supposed to do it, and he did not walk in fear. Woo! And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, they were disheartened in their own eyes. But they perceived that the work was done by our God. Yes, it was. It says, also in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. But many in Judah were pledged to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Erah, and his son Johanan had married the daughter Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also, they reported his good deeds before me, and reported my words to him. Tobiah sent letters to frighten me. But you know what? The enemy does that. That's his job, to frighten us, to make us feel afraid, to make us be afraid of what's going on in our life. We got to trust God. We got to trust God in our coming in. We got to trust God in our going out. We got to trust God that all things will work for our good. Keep trusting God today. Don't let anybody knock you off your square because you know who you belong to. Stay in the light. Stay in the light. Don't let the enemy knock you into darkness, down that road of depression, down that road of heartache, down that road of feeling sorry for ourselves. Because I've been there. I've been there. I've felt sorry for myself. I've gone through depression. We've all had our moments where we got a mess in our life. But God will bring you through. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes all kinds of things. And I thank God for the prayers of the righteous because I feel better today. I thank God for my pastor who prays for me, who is praying for me now. I thank God for her. And I thank God for evangelists who also lifts me up in prayer, both our evangelists that tune in. And I thank God for them because I lift them up as well. We got to pray for each other. We got to pray for the righteous. We got to pray for the sinner. We got to pray for our world and for our country. I thank God for all of you that listen in for Mother Nation. You are a blessing. And I ask God to continue watching over your countries as well as my own. For the world is in a shaky condition right now. When you have former prime ministers being murdered in the streets of countries that don't even use guns but getting shot and murdered. School children afraid to go to school because they're afraid of getting killed. We have got to change our ways. When you got politicians using guns and ads, come on now. This is craziness. And we got to pray. Pray for peace. Pray for love. And as Pastor Few's song says, spread love all over the world. No more hating. We got to stop hating and start spreading love. Spread God's love today. Give a smile to someone. Say thank you. Go the long way. Keep trusting God in everything. And love. Love changes all kind of things. Peace, love, and joy is what we ask God for. Praise his glory all the time. Chapter 7 of Nehemiah. Then it was when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hananiah, and Hananiah, the leader of the cathedral. For he was a faithful man and feared God more than many. And I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one of his watch stations and another in front of his own house. Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. And I found a register of the genealogy of those who had come up in the first return, and found written in it, these are the people of the province who came back from the captivity, of those who had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away, and who returned to Jerusalem and Judah, everyone in his city. Those who came with Zerubbabel, with Joshua, with Nehemiah, Ezra, Rama, Nehemiah, Mordecai, Beshem, Mispharah, Bigra, Nahum, and Menah. The number of the men of the people of Israel, the sons of Parosh, 2,122. The sons of Shephatiah, 372. The sons of Aaron, 600. And the sons of Pithith, Moab, of the sons of Joshua and Joab, 2,815. The sons of Elam were 2,254. The sons of Zetu, 845. The sons of Zakar, 760. The sons of Benu, 648. The sons of Bebai, 628. The sons of Asgad, 2,327. The sons of Israel, 2,067. The sons of Aden, 655. The sons of Atar, Hezekiah, 98. The sons of Hashem, 328. The sons of Bigai, 324. The sons of Harith, 112. The sons of Gibeon, 95. The men of Bethlehem and Netophah, 188. The men of Adrat, 128. The men of Beth Asmat, 42. The men of Karjat, Jarin, Chesmerah, and Beroth, 743. The men of Rama and Giba, 621. The men of Mesmas, 122. The men of Bethel and Ai, 123. The men of the other Nebo, 52. The sons of the other Elam, 1,254. The sons of Hara, 320. And before we go any further with the genealogy, let's go back real quick to a couple of three life lessons, actually, from Nehemiah chapter 6 and chapter 7. In chapter 6, they thought to do me harm. And I think that as I was looking at the genealogy, all these people came back, but yet they looking at Nehemiah to do him harm. Why? Because he had accomplished his, and this is what it says, what the devil cannot accomplish by scorn and intimidation, he will try to accomplish by deception and hateful schemes. Only by immersing ourselves in the word of God and through prayer will we avoid his traps. And they are traps. Believe me, I've fallen into some myself. We all have fallen into the traps of the enemy because he knows what we want to do, and he sends smoothness. He sends those that have all kind of prowess in whatever your situation may be, whether it's your finances, whether it's job opportunities, whatever it is. The enemy is busy. But be careful. Be careful. It's all I say. Watch as well as pray. Nehemiah 6:13, for this reason, he was hired that I should be afraid. We hurt our own cause when we give in to fear and intimidation and act as though the Lord God Almighty does not reign on us. Prudence never means cowardice. Woo! Come on now. Nehemiah 7:5, God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people that they might be registered by genealogy. How does God put things into our hearts? He may use our own observation and experience, the counsel of others, or perhaps work more directly. However, he does it. We walk in the spirit when we obey his initial prompting. We got to do what God says to. And when God puts something in your heart, believe me, he will open doors for you to get it accomplished. And this is the word again. It says, the sons of Jericho, 345. The sons of Lud, Hadan, and Ona, 721. The sons of Shaniah, 3,940. The priests, the sons of Jehadiah, of the house of Joshua, 973. The sons of Emma, 1,022. The sons of Pusher, 1,247. The sons of Aaron, 1,017. The Levites, the son of Joshua, was Gedaliah. And of the sons of Hadarah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 148. The gatekeepers, the sons of Shalom, the sons of Etah, the sons of Taman, the sons of Tekub, Hittai, Shobal, and 100, and the sons of Shabbat, 138. The Nethinim, the sons of Jahar, the sons of Hasubah, Tubat, Kirov, Sia, Pathan, Nabina, Hekabah, Samai, Hanai, Gidah, Gehar, Ra'ayah, Razian, Kekoda, Zazim, Azar, Pasiyah, Basai, Mi'anim, Nephasim, Bak, Buk. And it goes on to tell us the sons of Solomon's servants, the sons of Sotai. As we continue in there, it says, all the Nethinim and the sons of Solomon, seven Solomon's servants, were 392. And it goes on, and these were the sons that who came up from Telmilah, Telhashara, Cherub, and Adon, and Merah, but they could not identify their father's houses, nor their lineage, whether they were of Israel. The sons of Deliah, and the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nekoda, 642. And the priests, the sons of Habiah, the sons of Kaz, the sons of Barzillai, who took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai, the Gittite, and was called by their name. These sought their listing among those who were registered by genealogy, but it was not found. Therefore, they were excluded from the priesthood as defiled, and the governor said to them that they should not eat of the most holy things, that the priest could consult with the Urim and Thummim. Altogether, the whole assembly was 42,360, besides the male and female servants, for whom there were 7,337, and they had 245 men and women singers. The horses were 736, their male mules 245, their camels 445, and their donkeys 6,720. And some of the heads of the fathers' houses gave to the work. The governors gave to the treasury 1,000 gold drachmas, 50 basins, and 530 priestly garments. Some of the heads of the fathers' houses gave to the treasury of the work 20,000 gold drachmas and 2,200 silver minas. And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 gold drachmas, 1,000 silver minas, and 67 priestly garments. So the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the Nethinim, and all Israel dwelt in their cities. When the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. Whew. In other words, an assignment was completed. Hallelujah. An assignment was completed. And our word for this morning is coming also out of Psalm 89. Today and tomorrow, pretty much this week, our titles have come out of Psalm 89, because that's what God gave me. And I'm going to do what he says to do. And I'm going to tell you, it has been phenomenal. Because Psalm 89, when you have opportunity, read the whole thing. It is awesome. God gives us what we need when we need it. All we have to do is believe. Just believe in the Lord. Believe in everything he tells us. And watch God work in our lives, in our ministry, in whatever it is he assigns us to do. God will get the glory. God will get the glory in all things. Just believe. And it says, for who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? That was the word for this morning. Who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Nobody can be compared to God. Not me, not you, not any of us. He is incomparable, because there's no one like him. Nobody, nobody, nobody like Jesus. Nobody, nobody like our God. We got to remember who we belong to and that we are loved by God more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever think. God is in charge of all of us. He's in charge of our life. He's in charge of our hope. He's in charge of everything. And I love him so much. Excuse me. All I can say is thank you, Lord. And as we continue, Psalms 89, 5 through 11, and the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? And I'm going to answer that, nobody. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? I answer that too, nobody. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be held in reverence by all those around him. Praise the Lord, everybody. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you steal them. And when I read that, I thought about Jesus. Thought about Jesus in the book of Luke, where the storm is raging and the disciples are on the boat, and they see Jesus walking on the water, and they are afraid because they think maybe he's a ghost. But when he gets close, Peter gets out of the boat. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on water too. Peter walked on water with Jesus. But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. And Jesus picked him up. Woo, hallelujah. Put him in the boat. Come on now. And come. Let's see. Peace. Be still. Hallelujah. Is there a peace be still in your heart today? Are you listening to the voice of God? Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Peace be still, because God and his son, woo, Jesus, can calm the raging sea. When its waves rise, you steal them. Thank you, God. You have broken Rahab and Jesus as one who is slain. You have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. And I love this life lesson from Dr. Stanley for chapter 89 of the Psalm, of Psalm 6. And it says, who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to God? Though other people will fail us either for intentional or unintentional reasons, God never will. We know this, but then why do we still rely on others so much more than God? Come on now. You better speak it. Perhaps the answer has something to do with the fact that we can see, hear, and touch other people, and God is not tangible. With our physical senses, still God is real, and he will always be a much better help to us than could hope to be. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, of the praise. It makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Giving God glory this morning. Giving God honor this morning. Giving God praise this morning. Just thanking God for another day. Hallelujah. Are you thankful, grateful, and blessed this morning? Because I sure am. Because I know that I'm blessed by God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as we continue in our word this morning, it says, and when it was decided that we should sail to, go back to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28. A false witness shall perish, But the man who hears him will speak endlessly. And I'm going to cover that. You know, you got folks that will lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. They lie so much that lie becomes a truth to somebody. Well, you know what? Such and such said this and that. And, you know, I believe them. I believe that this and that really happened, even though this and that is a big lie. But that big lie, it gets spread like wildfire. And before long, you got folks that have a lot of sense, folks that are educated, folks that have discernment and art, in love with Jesus, who start to believe a lie. And before long, that lie takes on a life of its own. It says, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly, which means that lie will go all the way. And it's hard to combat a lie that's been told and told and told and told. But understand this, family. A lie is a lie is a lie. And whether you try to make it truth or not, it will never be prevail over a lie every time. But you will have some that will still believe the lie, even when the truth hits them in the face. Even when the truth is right there in front of them, they will still believe the lie. Even when you got fact after fact after fact after fact to show that that lie is a lie, they will still believe the lie. You can't argue with someone who believes a lie, because it says, but the man who hears him will speak endlessly. A false witness shall perish. The liar is going to be gone, but the lie will still be in place. Remember that. Understand, liars will lie to the day they die. Cannot handle truth. They cannot handle anything that is not what they want. And they will lie their way to the top. They'll lie their way even in the bottom. They'll lie all their way through hell, and they will try to lie to get into heaven. We got to understand, a lie is a lie, and a liar is a liar. They can't help themselves because they have been poisoned by the enemy. And all we can do to combat it is to pray that those that hear the lie will see the truth. Ooh, in Jesus' name. Acts 27:1-26. And it says this. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So entering a ship of Adelantum, we put to sail, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia, as far as Macedonia, Thessalonica was with us. And the next day, we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship going to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete to Salamis, passing it with difficulty. We came to a place called Fair Haven, near the city of Lasseus. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix. and harbor of Crete, opening toward the southwest and northwest in winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained the desire putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete, but not long after a tempest hit, went off the road called Cyclodon. So when the ship was caught and could not hit into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shores of an island called Claudia, we secured the ship with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship and fearing lest they should run aground on the side saying they struck sail. And so was driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. But there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe, God, that I will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. Whew! God will send an angel to rescue his servant. When you got an assignment, God will send an angel to make sure you get through the storm. God will send an angel to make sure that you get to the other side. God will save your life to make sure that you are ready to finish and complete whatever your assignment may be. Are you doing what God called you to do today? Are you finishing up your assignment? Has your angel made a visitation with you? Paul told them, don't go. But they went anyway. Not for who he was. But then he had to tell them, I'm just reminding you, I said for us not to do this. People don't want to hear that, though. But when he said an angel, but there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, said, do not be afraid. The Lord tells us all through the word, be strong and courageous, to not walk in fear, because he is with us wherever we go. Stand on the word of God. Believe that all things are possible through the Lord God who gives us strength. And as we continue in our word this morning, I learned that filled up here. In life lessons, it says, Acts 27 and 20, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Hardship and trials can last for so long that we begin to despair that God will ever rescue us from our difficulties. Yet God remains faithful in difficult circumstances that he has lost interest in us. Hallelujah. Acts 27 and 25. I believe, God, that it will be just as you have told me. When times get hard, those who do not have a relationship with God can take courage from those who do. If believers maintain and display their trust in the Lord, Paul's faith encouraged many unbelievers. Hallelujah. Is your faith encouraging someone today? Is your faith helping someone get through today? Are you feeling the presence of the Lord today? Because God is in the midst and he loves us more than we could ever imagine, more than we could ever think. Praise the Lord this morning, family. Praise the Lord this morning, family. Praise the Lord and thank God for his grace And a life lesson before we get out of here today. A surprise and a welcome visit. And he says, do you like surprise visits? And my answer, honestly, is no, I don't. I don't like surprise visits. I don't. I'm just being honest. I'm not that person that likes surprises. But, you know, okay. Do you like surprise visits? But most of us, it depends upon who appears at the door. Now, there you go. When God makes a surprise visit, he brings a message and purpose we can never anticipate. This is one of the important ways of God that every believer should understand. In Acts 27:11-13-26, we see God make a surprise visit to Paul during his final disastrous marriage from Paul's Lord's room. Tells us, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempers beat on us, our hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Without tackle or food, the 276 passengers knew there was no way that they could survive the terrible storm. Whew, Lord God, but God. Can y'all say it with me one more time? But God. In the moment, most bereaved of hope, God sent word to Paul through an angel. Paul, in return, announced God's message to his shipmates. He said, there stood by me this night an angel of God, of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who stand with you. Woo! There are some important things that we can learn about God's surprise visits through the account of Paul's life. And these are the things to put in your arsenal. You got a pen and a pencil. Be ready to write this down. When God visits, he comes in his own timing. That's a highlightable. If you have that, if you have the Charles Stanley Daily Bible, that's a highlightable. When God visits, he comes in his own timing. Though we may wonder why God chose to wait so long to address the passengers on that ship, we know one thing for sure. The hope God offered was very welcome to them. God was on the basis of his perfect knowledge and purposes rather than on our understanding or impatience. Number two, when God visits, we feel an awesome sense of his presence. Always when we're most helpless that we best appreciate God's strength and provision. We can almost imagine the amazing emotion that swept through those people knowing that that holy God was coming to their aid. Number three, when God visits, he has a specific purpose for us. God's specific message to Paul was that he would indeed fulfill his purpose in Paul's life. God had previously commanded, as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Then God confirmed, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. God encouraged Paul by letting him know he was still on the right track, even if his circumstances seemed to suggest otherwise. Number four, the greater your task or his purpose, the more likely his visit will be. Understand that Paul was on his way to his final place of ministry, Rome. This was in his life, and he needed God's encouragement to remain strong and courageous for his final assignment. God still makes surprise visits today because he has a wonderful and significant purpose for every one of us. He is interested in the details of our life, whether we're peacefully sailing our tempest tossed. He wants to give us confidence and involve us in his plan. He also wants others to be encouraged and saved through us. So welcome him and embrace him in his surprise visit. We'll always be right on time. Praise the Lord. God's surprise visit will be right on time because we understand again that our Father God is in charge of everything, that all things are working for our good because we're trusting in him. For who in the heavens can be compared to our Lord? Nobody. Thank God. And when he sends you a surprise visit, be welcoming, be hospitable, whether you like surprise visits or not. When God comes to visit, whoo, you better get your house clean. Hallelujah. And know that he is looking at your soul. Thanking God for this word this morning. Thanking God for all of you that came in to listen in. This has been a fantastic word. You know, you got to know where you belong, who you came with, whether you're in the right place. You know, sometimes the census is made, and you find out a lot of information, like where do you come from? Sometimes people don't make the census, they're not in it, but we still got to know who we belong to. Do you belong to God today? Are you his servant? Are you his daughter? Are you his son? Are you one of his children? Get in position to know who you belong to. Thank you so much, family. I got to go to work, so I got to let you go. But before we get out of here, as always, a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for this morning is this. It is absolutely impossible to worry and live in peace at the same time. Choose peace. I have a worry-free Wednesday. We're going to choose peace today. Thank you, Sister Carolyn, for that magnificent word this morning. God is good, and we're going to choose not to worry today. You know, and I love this word for my prayer book this morning, 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And, you know, I just have to thank God for it. And how I got it was visiting a friend in the hospital. And this book, basically, this prayer book called out to me. I felt a light shine on this book. And I knew I had to get it. And I'm so grateful I did. And it says, unmerited favor for this morning. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, but God already has. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace God, Romans 6 and 14, TBT. Great God, you have conquered me with your grace. Sin cannot control me because I have been overcome by you with your great love, covering my life, all other powers and influence shrink. Lord, when I am battling fearful thoughts and jumping to conclusions fueled by anxiety, release your peace over my mind. Fear is not my leader, nor will it be. Your grace is what governs my life, and I won't be afraid of what may come. With you by my side, I have nothing to fear. Lord, lead me in your great mercy that covers every weakness. Sin cannot have a hold on something that is covered by your power. May I remember that when the enemy tries to convince me otherwise, you are the wisest God I've ever known. I will gladly follow you all the days of my life. Be glorified in me. Ooh, hallelujah. What a prayer. And this is a question to think about. What has the most power over your thoughts, life? What do you think about the most? Are you thanking God for your blessings? Are you worrying about your problems? So give God thoughts. Put your thoughts on the Lord today and watch him work in your life. Thanking God this morning for his grace, for his mercy, for his love, for his kindness, for his healing power, for all things that are God. I just say thank you, Lord. For who in the heavens can be compared to you, Father? Nobody. nobody but Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, our Savior, this morning. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing who you belong to. You belong to the Most High God, and he loves you more than you can imagine. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. It's time to go to work. We got some smiling to do, some kindness to, some love to give, some peace and hope and joy. We got to go out with our fruit of the Spirit and give it away. Hallelujah, because the more fruit you give away, the more fruit comes back to you. Have a great day, family. Keep loving God and keep following his word and keep bringing as many as you can to him, because the only him they may see is you. Be an example. Let those that see you see him in you. Be blessed, family. It's out. For real this time.